Brother Ryan, would you pass those sheets out there? Amen. So, Bible study night, I was looking at my record of old Bible studies and things, and I came across this one that brought back fond memories. Anybody remember an evangelist that we had a long, long time ago? I believe the year was 2008. I don't know who was around back then. Brother Tim Downs. Anybody remember that name? Brother Tim Downs came. We were at the storefront in New London. And he was, we had a tent meeting. I think we had 13 people get the Holy Ghost while he was with us. It was an exciting time. It was new for us. And he brought with him this Bible study. Well, he had a very unique way of evangelizing. For a while we borrowed a van, and we filled up this 15-passenger van with like 10 or 12 people from our church, and we'd drive around and wait till we seen somebody interesting that we thought we'd want to talk to, and we'd pull over, and you know when you go up and just start talking to somebody? That's called accosting. We accosted them with the gospel. This guy right there with the guitar, Tony, came from Tim Downs' ministry. I'm talking about you, bro. We pulled him into the building. He was... So, that revival where I baptized him was where this Bible study came from. Now, the Bible study, and what I'm doing tonight is I want to put in your hand just another old-fashioned tool in your toolbox. How about that? Lots of good Bible studies, and there's very few Bible studies I would be against. I mean, if you're looking at the Word of God and you're studying the Bible, there's got to be something good there, right? This is one that he would advocate. We'd go across the neighborhoods and pass out lots of flyers. We had an event. It was, I believe, successful. It was something very positive for our church. Throwing out the seed, we had a bunch of people come. People get baptized. People got the Holy Ghost. And then immediately after that, we tried to teach as many as we could this Bible study. And it has a pretty fair overview of, yes, being saved, need the Holy Ghost, but it touches on other things that you need in your life besides just, yes, you got to repent, yes, you must be baptized, yes, you must receive the Holy Ghost. You need God in your life. Yes, that's how you begin. But our walk with God contains more than that. Amen. But it was an exciting time, wasn't it? It was an exciting time. There's a copy for you there. I don't know if you got very many more. A couple more. If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. Looks like we got enough to hand out. So evangelist Tim Downs put this together. Skipping down to page number 3. But before we start, I'd like to pray. Would you join me? Lord, I pray your hand, God, to be within our lives. I pray that this Bible study, Lord, would be a tool, Lord, in the hand of the person that uses it. Lord, and I pray that you would help us, God, to know when to use it and with who. And Lord, that your word would just get in our heart Lord, that it would do the work that you want it to do. Lord, that we would follow you with all of our heart. In Jesus' precious name, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for my lengthy introduction. Amen. So like I was saying, this Bible study, everybody that got this Bible study, they had just came through our revival. They had heard the preaching on repentance, and many got baptized. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. And these folks are ready right now, right then, to start their new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So receiving the Holy Ghost is where this Bible study picks up. Part of the new birth, as spoken in John chapter 3, verse 5, is to receive the Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." It's a conjunctive, it joins, it makes it a part of the statement. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. A lot of people will say, well, they got baptized when they were little. Or I got baptized a long time ago. Many times they don't even remember how they got baptized. They just know I got baptized when I was small. Some people, very small. But here we go. It's very important that if you have not received the Holy Ghost since you have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, that ye seek for the Holy Ghost as often as possible until you receive it. That means every week. That means going to revival services. That means going to every chance you can, put yourself in the presence of where you believe God wants you to be. Amen. Church, Bible study, home Bible study, midweek Bible study, elements class. Man, who knows? Maybe we'll have somebody get the Holy Ghost one day in elements class. You know what? It's possible. God can do it. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. When the people in the Bible received the Holy Ghost, there was no question if they had it or not. You see, there was a certain sign that was given to show the Holy Ghost was given. Speaking in tongues is that sign. Amen. It's the same as it was back in the days that the Bible were written when the Holy Ghost was poured out, Acts chapter 2. The apostles, their converts, they received the Holy Ghost. Converts today are still under the same promise from God. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that's talking about the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So just as it was proof here in the New Testament, the Jews were astonished, they were amazed, they were, wow, this is something great that's happening right here. I know that's the Holy Ghost, I hear them speak in tongues and magnify God. If it has been 100 times, 1,000 times, or many, if it has been tens of thousands of times, I don't know how many, but a lot of times, I have seen people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And every single time, from the first one to the latest one, it is amazing to me. It is spectacular to me. It is a wonderful event that God is doing in that person's life. Amen. It always makes me smile. Praise the Lord. What a joyous event it is. When you speak or when you seek the Holy Ghost, you must be praying out loud. You know, that seems so simple. But you cannot speak in tongues if you are not speaking. Amazing. You cannot speak in tongues if you are not speaking. Most people think their prayers or they pray very quietly without making any sound. They could know nothing that you could have your ear close to their mouth and not hear anything. Of course, my hearing is getting less and less. I'm not quite deaf yet. I can still hear some. But I hear less than I used to. But it's not my hearing. It's God that wants to speak through you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You must pray out loud. Amen. It's a good thing. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Ooh-wee. That's a pretty serious statement right there. You know what? I want every part of what God has for me. Amen. And I believe what God has for every person will be great in their life. Amen. It will, all the time, every person, always be a good thing. Amen. Some people have confused, some people are confused about the gift of tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. The gift of tongues is when someone will speak very loud in tongues all by themselves when it is quiet. Then someone will give the interpretation afterward. Not everyone will have the gift of tongues and interpretation, but everyone will speak in tongues when they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let there be a clear distinction. It's not that everyone will speak with an interpretation, but it is given for everyone to receive God's Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. So, the Acts 2:38 message, it's for everybody. Amen. But there's more to living for God than just an Acts 2:38 experience. Amen. To really be successful in our walk with God, we need Bible study. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible study is very important. You must take time to read and study the Word of God. You need to ask the pastor or someone from the church about getting involved in a home Bible study or even in a new converts class. Right away. Amen. Do not wait. This is a very important step. Amen. I think the end time Bible study is awesome. I think it's good stuff. We're learning a lot about how the Bible speaks to us and how it applies right now. Amen. But there's other Bible studies. This is a good Bible study in that if you wanted to do a Bible study in just about an hour, You could do this and have it all laid out for you. Amen. You could give one to your buddy. I have it electronically. I could text it to your phone. I could email it to you. You could have an electronic copy. We could print you out another copy. If you'd like to have this Bible study, we'll make it available to you. But it's not really which one you do. It's that we have a habit of studying the Bible. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, I have heard all kinds of wild religious philosophy. But what I want to know is what God says in His Word. Amen. Don't just take what he said or what she said or what you think. No, it's what the Word of God says that really matters. Many truly miss knowing the truth because they never study the Word of God. There are people today who trust what others say more than looking into the Scripture for themselves. You must search the Scriptures and read the Word for yourself. We got to get it in our eyes so that it can enter our mind that God can change our heart. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. There were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. In fact, I hope when you hear the preaching of the word that you make sure that that preaching is in the Bible. Amen. It's very important that we know what the Bible says. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, Bible study. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Wow. You know what? I don't believe anybody is all by themselves. Everybody, I believe, can and will affect someone else. Amen. Somehow there's a connection with you and some other person. Amen. Yes, we must study the Word. Just like the old saying, never talk about politics and religion. The reason we fight over these two subjects is because there is little knowledge on either topic. Most people just believe the way Grandpa or Uncle George believes without ever studying for themselves. The problem is we love Grandpa, we love Uncle George, so we trust what they say instead of learning for our own knowledge. Man, I was raised in church from a little kid. Went to Sunday school, went to revival services, went to church every week. But you know what? When I come to an age, it's not just what pastor said. It's not just what my mom said. There had to come a time that I would find it for myself. Amen. Every one of us is like that. I hope you find it in the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Study the Word. There can be found the greatest truths you will ever know. Amen. Nothing will supersede the power that is in the Bible. Amen. Bible study, an important product, important part of our walk with God. Another part is prayer. Sheet number 7 in your handout. This prayer, this could be one of the most important things you learn as a new Christian. You must learn to pray. Prayer guides, they are the best way to learn how to pray, as well as attending the prayer meetings at your local church. Many people fail to learn how to pray. The apostles even asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Amen. You know, just like a child learns by watching the parent, I believe the new convert learns by being involved in prayer meetings. Amen. It helps us to pray. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. There really is. You know, we can pray in so many different ways, interceding for somebody else, praying that God would help us, praying for healing, praying for deliverance, praying for your children, praying, you name it. There are so many things to pray for. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. If my people, get that great big giant word right at the beginning. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I'm telling you, God hears the prayers of a righteous man. Amen. God will not ignore heartfelt, honest prayer. To pray is to communicate with God. How can you have a relationship without communication? If you don't communicate with your spouse, you're going to have a troubled relationship. If you don't communicate with God, it will cause hardships in your spiritual walk. You'll find things difficult because you don't communicate. To pray is to communicate with God. We need to develop a prayer communication with our Savior as soon as possible when we come to know the Lord. Pray often. Set aside time to pray and to talk with God, even if you are just learning, just to talk to Him like a friend. I assure you, He is listening and He answers our prayers. Amen. So Bible study, prayer. How about this one now? This one might get to you. Anybody look at page number 8 yet? Fasting. Here we go. It's part of our spiritual development. It's part of our walk with God. Fasting is something that is very important in your new walk with God. Most people lack in fasting because it can be very hard. It goes against our flesh. Amen. The important thing to remember is when we fast, we are getting our flesh or our humanity under subjection to God. What you're doing is not, now I'm not talking about fasting because you want to lose 5 pounds. I'm not talking about fasting going on a diet. I'm talking about not eating because you want to communicate with God. Because you want to set aside yourself to become more sensitive to God. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. How true it is. Our flesh truly is weak. Man, you might feel like, oh, on Sunday morning, that preaching was right to me. Pastor was talking right down my alley. I know exactly what he's talking about. Then on Monday, the flesh wants to go right back to the old way that you were before. Our flesh truly is weak. And really, it's those carnal things in our life that we, as the Christian, need to get control of. Nobody is going to make you walk right with God. You got to choose to do it yourself. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He was dedicating himself to communicate with God, to pray and fast. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. It is incredible that fasting, that prayer, fasting, seeking God, getting His help, can do all of that. Man, you could be, a person could come to God under depression, oppression, have real problems, real difficulties, just overwhelming them. And God can see them through. Amen. Your problem, as big as it may seem, and problems in life, I understand, are sometimes overwhelming. Sometimes they're more than we can handle. But your problem is not bigger than God. Amen. That problem might be bigger than me, but I got a big God. Amen. He's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than all of my fears. Amen. Everything is in God's control. Amen. You see, during our time of fasting, God can deal with our true heart without our flesh getting in the way. When we bring our flesh into subjection, our spirit is lifted up. Praise the Lord. When you try, or when you want to try and fast, you will want to try and fast at least once a month. In our church, we've been advocating for years now that we try to get our people to fast one day a week. Whether if that's one meal or two meals, I know some will fast until their evening meal. They'll, and I know that some people have sugar problems or medication problems, or there's problems in certain people's lives, but you do what you can to the best of the ability that you're able, and you let God do the rest. Okay? Amen. Fasting is an important part of our walk with God. Page number 9, faithfulness to church. You know, in our society, many would think, oh, I should go to church. And they feel fulfilled when they get here. Oh, I enjoyed that so much. I had such a good time. Oh, I could feel the presence of God. And then the next service rolls around, they're not there. See, being faithful to the house of God can be one of the hardest challenges you will face, especially in a new convert. It seems as if, without fail, I would almost dare to say, Satan always tries to trip up that new person. All the time. Put something in their path, try to get them, pull them away somehow, block their path from getting to church. Many people have a false belief that we do not need to go to church to be saved. Many people make excuses why they cannot make it to every service. And eventually find, after missing a few services, that they are back doing the old things that they used to do. It's an age-old tactic of the devil, of Satan, of evil, to trick you in to the old way of life. Keep you from a new way of life. I want to be born again. Amen. I want to live this life forever. Amen. The scripture is very clear on this subject. Excuse me, I got to take a little sip here.
Oh, somebody else had a...
Oh, another one. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. It's important. Yes, I enjoy the fellowship. Yes, I enjoy the worship. Yes, the preaching is powerful. Yes, I enjoy the presence of God. But all that together is more than any single component. Amen. It will help us to stay faithful to God. See, the scripture is saying, do not stay home when the church is meeting together for a service or function. Let's just put in the English version right there. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We come to church to hear the preaching. When we do, it builds faith in us. Do you know what happens when we do not go and hear the word? And hear the word so we have faith? You know, that's why they would call it back sliding. You know, you're not doing as much as you could be doing or as you should be doing. Amen. We should find ourselves faithful to the house of God. Amen. It's good for our spiritual health. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Yes, we need to hear the word so that we can have faith. Because, as the scripture says, it's impossible to please Him, God, without it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe it in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Preaching is more than just entertainment. Amen. Preaching is powerful. Preaching can give us strength. Amen. In our spirit. Amen. That our flesh needs to make it through life. Amen. Be faithful to each service. We need the fellowship, the preaching, and the faith that it brings. Amen. Okay, so we talked about Bible study. We talked about fasting. We talked about prayer. We talked about faithfulness to church. Number 11 in your handout, giving. You see, giving is a very important part of our living for God. It really, really is. It's probably, I believe it's more important than many people think. Amen. Giving is a very important part of our living for God. The devil has allowed many men to do wrong and take advantage of people who have given. There are very dishonest people, even who claim to be ministers or TV evangelists. We must be careful in our giving that we do not cast our pearls before swine. Amen. And I want to be very careful in our church. In fact, we make it a point that our members are invited to a business meeting. We fully disclose all that came in and all that went out and what it was spent on, what we started with and what we ended with and where it went in between. Amen. And we have in our local assembly, it's not just the pastor that makes all the calls. Amen. We have a trustee board that are trusted elders in our church that oversee those functions and approve and delegate things to be accomplished. I think it is an awesome, awesome thing. Amen. How the giving is handled in our church. You see, you are safe to give to the house of God where you attend. The Bible is clear on the blessings of those who give. We do not want to rob God or ourselves of the blessings we receive from giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God is faithful in blessing the giver. Amen. See, we owe God 1/10 of our increase. That's a biblical principle. It's tithing. Each person should give back in tithes one-tenth of their increase. Tithing is already God's. We owe that back to Him. We are blessed the most on what we give over our 10%. That would be offering. And there has been a misunderstanding by many, many places, many times. People think, well, tithes and offering, that it's the same thing. No. Tithes is 10% that belongs to God. God said that was to be given. Offerings is something that we give of our free will in addition to or above the 10%. Tithes and offerings. So if you make $100, you owe God $10. If you want to be blessed, you should give $10 plus whatever you feel is a good offering unto God over the $10. Amen. Tithes and offerings. We should be very careful that we do not try to cheat or rob God in our giving. Never worry about what the church is doing with your offering. If the church would do wrong with your giving, then they would be in danger of the wrath of God. We must never give with a bad attitude. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. I tell you the truth. God blesses the giver. Amen. We must always give in our time. Try to give God as much of your time as possible. He will reward you. Amen. Witnessing. Page number 13. The first thing most newborn Christians want to do is tell others about what happened in their lives. God has done a great work and saved you from the lake of fire and hell. And He really has. It is natural that you want to tell people of what God has done. We must never stop telling people our testimony. In the Bible, there are two ways to defeat the devil. One is by the blood of the Lamb. When we are baptized in Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb is applied to our life, defeating the enemy. That is why the devil gets people to be baptized repeating the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because the name Jesus and the blood cannot be applied that way, therefore never affecting him. But when the name of Jesus is called over the blood of the Lamb, or when the name of Jesus is called over us, the blood of the Lamb is applied. It is such a simple principle. Jesus died for me. I want Jesus to cover me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The other way we defeat the enemy is by our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They were not afraid even to testify if it would cost them their lives. Wow. That's powerful. That's why the devil is always keeping us quiet from telling others what has happened in our life and also from witnessing. The Bible is clear. We shall become a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it tells us what we're going to do with that power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I like to think of that as Uncasville, Connecticut. Amen. We're a long way from Jerusalem, but God is here when we witness. We are also warned that we must witness and warn people of the dangers of hell. Ezekiel 3, verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou gavest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from their wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Get this now. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Wow. God, let us be a witness. God, let me open my mouth to say things about you. Jesus, help me. God, put words in my mouth that I can say about you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God, help me, Jesus, to be wise. The scripture teaches us that he that wins souls is wise. What does that make us, or make he that does not win souls? Well, they're not so wise. Amen. Let's open our mouth. It's important for us to witness. Holiness and separation. Your life as a new Christian should change from the inside out. You will learn to walk in a different light. The old things you used to think were important will change. Isn't that so true? Things that you used to think are important, man, that's not so important. You will begin to think on spiritual things. You will also want to live your life different from the other people in the world. You will not want to look like the sinners and the people in this world. You will not want to live a life, you will want to live a life that is holy and separate from the old life of sin. Some of the places that you used to go will not be appropriate anymore. You do not want to be around some of the old places where you used to be in sin. You also will want to dress more like a Christian, talk like a Christian, act like a Christian. You will want the light of Jesus to shine through you. It's not like you have to look like me. It's that you should look like Jesus wants you to look. Amen. I like the saying that God wants a man to look like a man. I don't think I've ever been mistaken, to my knowledge, to be a woman. You chuckle. There's some men, see them from behind, you know, is that a lady or not? The same respect, God wants a woman to look like a woman. Look just the way God wants you to look. Amen. Put on things that will please God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Really, that's what holiness is. I want to be just as close to God as I can get myself to be. I want to please God in as many ways as I can please God. It's not because of what he said or she said or they do or what you do. Let's do what is pleasing to God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Stand with me, would you? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is important to God. It's important to our walk with God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Would you ask God even now to help us to live for Him? Lord, I love